So let me come back to our discussion for this morning. We are in the last of seven discussions or considerations about the themes of justice and mercy affecting the city of Charlotte. And this morning, if you've got your handouts, we're going to be looking at refugees. I watched that video myself, and it, like all the others, is very compelling. And we have experts with us this morning. Good morning, Andrea. How are you? We have David Johnson, who is back there with yet another. We've got two cameras. If you're camera shy, that's sitting in the right place to be. We've got two cameras coming at us this morning. But David and Andrea are friends of Pat and me, and Pat and Andrea go back a ways as friends. And David is the director and originator of Silent Images, and so we are really blessed to have him with us this morning to wrap up this series. I wish David had a lot more time than he's going to have to kind of talk to you about his ministry, but we'll see what comes of that. What you need to know this morning is that we're going to create a little window at the end of the class for you. If you've been a participant in all of these seven discussions about justice and mercy matters in Charlotte, our missions department has asked that we give you an opportunity, at least tentatively, if you've determined that there's a particular area that you would like to serve in, to just simply make that known. You're not committing yourself. Frankly, there's outreach and missions trying to get an idea of how our people are going to involve themselves in the opportunities that outreach and missions is, in fact, right now even trying to learn of. One of the challenges that they have faced is that the various ministries in the city that work with these seven areas don't always need lots of volunteers. It actually requires some serious administration. And so Mike Miller and his team are trying to work with the various agencies and nonprofits and figure out a way to bring them together with you. And it's not as easy as it may look. And so what I'm going to pass around soon enough, probably as David is wrapping up, so you have an opportunity at least to hear about refugees, is a sign-up sheet. It's very simple. And if you've already determined that there's a particular area where you'd like to give some time and serve, then you can make that known. If you are still praying about that, that's all right as well. The missions conference itself is where we will have further opportunities to sign up and further clarity on what our opportunities are. Does that make sense? Okay. And I'm sure some of you have already made up your mind. Some of you made up your mind the first week. And I'm hearing all sorts of stories around folks that participate in one particular week, and that becomes the issue they want to champion. And so that's what we're going to do, which means we're going to have to create a little more time than we normally have. So Dave and I have talked, and we're probably not going to spend as much time this morning on the discussion of refugees as we have the other six matters, because I know some of you in choir need to. What time do you leave for choir? 10 after? Okay, that's good. I think that'll work. You think that'll work, David?
Yep.
All right, well, David, come on up. Introduce you. Is Ken Lotes with you today?
No, I'm solo today.
You're solo today.
Yeah, Ken is traveling.
We're glad to have you, brother.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
And your dear wife.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Andrew and I are really, really excited to be here. My wife, Andrea, why don't you stand up so they know, see my beautiful bride. We helped plant Cross Park Church, which is the granddaughter of Christ Covenant. So Christ Covenant planted Uptown, Christ Covenant, and then Cross Park. And so we've been a member of Cross Park, getting that started for the last 3 years. And we have, just in the last 3 months, come back here to the mothership here at Christ Covenant. And we're really excited. We have a 20-month-year-old baby, and there's a lot of things that are great about being a part of a church plant, because you're around young people and people our same age. But one of the things that we loved most about Christ Covenant is sitting in this room. There is a lot of wisdom, being around people who have been down the road before you. And so one of the things that we are looking forward to the most about Christ Covenant is being around people like you and people who have a lot of wisdom to share. And a lot of you are already loving on our daughter as she's in nursery. And so we thank you, and we're just really joyed to be a part of Christ Covenant again. So thanks for having us. I am Silent Images is one of your ministries. And it's kind of an odd duck of a ministry. Most of the time we think of ministry as the traditional ministries. And we do ministry by using this, a camera. And often people wonder, well, how valuable can that be, using a camera as ministry? Well, if you saw the Super Bowl, you realize that people, the people who are doing the commercials were paying $4 million for 30 seconds of your time to try to convince you to do something. They'll pay that much money to put a video in front of you because they know that videos really, really challenge, really, I think, create discontent in your heart. That's what a commercial does, right? It creates discontent and moves your heart to do something. And so we see value in storytelling with videos. The problem is other ministries can't afford $4 million for a production. Or $4,000. Often they can't afford $400. And so that's what we do. We come in as Silent Images and we provide visual storytelling for other ministries. And that way we provide Christian photographers and videographers. And whether it's in South Sudan with ministries there, or whether it's in South Charlotte, we look for stories to tell so people know how to give, go, and pray. And we're based right here in Matthews. Our studio is right in downtown Matthews, so this is very much home in many ways. So we have been really excited to see Christ Covenant take on the Donkey Series. Our goal when we did this project was that churches would use it. And we've been really excited to see about 10 different churches and schools locally, and now some churches outside of North Carolina using it. And it's really exciting to see our work come to fruition, because that's what we wanted. And we do hope and pray that after these 7 series, as we wrap this up, that you guys really will start asking yourselves, you know, what is it I have in my hands to engage? You know, for us, our ministry, this is what we have in our hands. This is what we use. This is our raw material, right? Photographers use light. But what's the raw material you have? Writers use words, right? Carpenters use wood. Landscape designers use nature. Venture capitalists use ideas. So what is the thing that you have that you can kind of say, okay, I want to engage in some way, whether by giving, going and doing something, or praying around these subjects. So we're just really, really excited. I before we get into the refugee subject, I'd love to hear I want to kind of gauge the audience here a little bit around refugees. Is there anybody in the room who came here as a refugee? Nobody. Okay. I hope that next year, or in the coming years, Christ's Covenant will be full of them. That we will, when we ask that question, there will be within our fold a handful of people who will say, yes, I've come. Yes?
Could you define the term, please?
Yes. Actually, on this handout, I didn't have enough for everybody, but I'll read for you exactly how the UN defines a refugee. The Refugee Convention in 1951 said, a refugee is owning to a well-founded fear of being persecuted for reasons of race, religion, nationality, membership of a particular social group, political opinion, if outside the country of his nationality. So basically, somebody who has run from their country because their life is in danger. Okay, so not necessarily an economic migrant, right? Because we have a lot of economic migrants that come here. But there are these are people who have run from their nation, from their country, because of fear for their life. Okay, and often, a refugee title, the title refugee is given by the U.S. State Department to somebody, basically saying, "Hey, we'll give you asylum in our country." Okay, so who here has worked with refugees in any capacity? Yes, and share with us just for a minute what you've done, so we can kind of hear ways the church is engaged already.
At a former church, we had English as a second language, and I got involved with working with a variety of internationals, and primarily with the Montagne Yard.
Mm-hmm.
And then in my work capacity, was able to help them find work that was giving them benefits and.
Yeah. And fantastic.
With International House, I don't even know if International House exists.
It does, yeah.
Years ago, I would go there and teach some of the new refugees about health and what they should and shouldn't do with their babies.
Yep, fantastic. ESL is a great way to engage. The Mutton Yard, which are from Vietnam, is one of our highest number of refugees in Charlotte, but also right here in Matthews. A lot of the Mutton Yard refugees live right in the Habitat community here in downtown Matthews. So that's very close to home. Someone else had their hand up? Yes, sir.
When I was in Kenya, I taught at a college, and a number of my students were from Rwanda, East Congo, Southern Sudan.
Yep.
And, you know, some had fled there. So they had come there to go to college, but some couldn't go back to where they had come from.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. So you have refugees. Obviously, the U.S. is by far, although, you know, we'll say we take in the most. There's a lot of undocumented refugees who flee into places like Kenya from South Sudan and from the Congo. Refugees are all over the world. We're obviously not the only country that takes them in. Anybody else work with them in one way or another? Yes, ma'am.
Through Bethany Christian Services, took in a Hmong woman. Mm-hmm. She had escaped from Laos.
Yep.
They were under persecution, and she came to us because after she had birthed her baby, she had chosen to place that baby for adoption. She couldn't go home again until that happened. Her people didn't know she was pregnant because it would have been a disgrace if she left her people.
Yep.
Even after she had her baby, she was considered unclean by them for 6 weeks, so that we housed her.
Yeah. So you have the danger of the baby, and you said she was from Laos, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so in Southeast Asia. Southeast Asia has we have a variety of refugees here. Bhutan, I wouldn't really consider Southeast Asia necessarily, more just right next to India, but Bhutan, Burma, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, you'll meet a lot of them around the city for a variety of different reasons. So. Anybody else work with refugees? Biblically speaking, we're all refugees, aren't we? Scripture, Bernie, I may give you one of these copies so you can share this with the rest, for those of you that don't have one of these. But Ken and I kind of went through and gave you a lot of biblical kind of references about the reality of refugees and how we're all refugees. The list at the beginning, at the top there, of course, starts to give a list of all the displaced people in Scripture, which is a long list, right? Including Mary and Joseph and Jesus, Abraham, Noah. There is a long history of God using migration for his purpose and having people on the move. And of course, Paul speaks of us being a citizen, you know, not a citizen of this world, right? Peter speaks of us being aliens and strangers. And so we all should, the idea of refugees should resonate with us because we know that ultimately we too are out of place. And so it's really, if you've worked with refugees, it's kind of a fresh reminder of what it feels like to just feel out of place and remind you know what? I too should feel like this often. And we do in the different, you know, as Christians going into the world, we often should feel this burden of, wow, I just don't quite fit in. And there's something beautiful about that, about not being so attached to our things and to our home, and recognize our home is not here. And that is one of the things that we'll talk about after we watch this video. What are some of the really practical ways that we can engage with refugees? Because that is the ultimate goal of these videos, is not for us just to theoretically talk about them, but to say, okay, what can I do? What are some of the practical needs that they have? And obviously, you've been watching. This is now the seventh video. And the purpose of these videos is to take a big subject like refugees and narrow it down to just a couple stories. And so what you'll see in this video, like many of the other videos you've seen, are just, you're going to hear two stories about refugees right here in Charlotte. How they got here, And they really represent a much larger community. And of course, you know, all these seven videos were shot and filmed about, I would say, within about a 10-mile radius of this church. So everything you've been seeing, you know, we can't dismiss it and say, well, that's happening in Africa, but not here. That's happening in you know, Southern California, but not here. It is right here. And so these two stories, of course, are refugees who come into Charlotte for two different reasons. Let me tee this up and give you a little bit of background. Hassan is one of the refugees stories that you'll hear. He's a little bit difficult to understand, but he has come here from Rwanda. And he has fled because his life was in danger. And he's a younger gentleman, 21 years old. And if you, I can fill in the blanks for you if there's a couple things you don't pick up, but I wanted to at least give, you know, tee up that, yes, it's gonna be a little bit difficult to understand him. And then you have Joy, who will be a woman from Kenya. And the background on her story is that she had to flee because she kept having babies who were girls. And her husband and her tribe often would put her life in danger because she didn't produce boys. And so whether it was, you know, wanting to kill her daughters or wanting to kill her, she had to flee here to the United States for her life. The sad part of the story is that she had to leave her girls behind for almost 7 years. And eventually, the U.S. State Department came and got those girls and reconnected the family. And so that's a beautiful story you're going to see of Joy. Okay. And then we'll obviously pick back up this conversation after this, and then of course hand it over to Bernie and talk about kind of what our actions are here as a church as we move forward. Okay. Any other questions right before I start?
David, I've got those handouts.
Fantastic. Great.
Who does not have a copy of David's handout on biblical references? Okay. So what I'll do is I'll if you don't have one, get one. If you don't, just.
I often do when I'm not really sure how to start a conversation, whether you go to Aldi's right here. How many of you shop at Aldi's right here in downtown Manhattan? There are, you see the refugees. They love that place. Or if you've ever gone downtown and you've checked out of the parking decks and you see somebody, you know, exchanging money and they have an accent and you're like, I don't know where they're from. One of the things I love to say to people to engage and start conversation is to say, where is that beautiful accent from? And immediately, it's not like, where are you from? It's not, you know, it's where does that beautiful accent come from? And that just opens the conversation for them to say, well, I come from Burma. Oh, wow, my church has been praying for Burma. We've been praying for your country. And just like the Lord asked, you know, Hagar when she was out in the desert, asked Hagar, from where have you come and where are you going? From where have you come and where are you going? And that's a great follow-up question of just, well how did you come here? And often you'll hear then maybe just a piece of their story, but you might get a name and just a start of their story. And you can really begin that as a hopefully maybe relationship or maybe just the opportunity to pray for someone by name. And that obviously would direct your prayer. Sometimes you just don't know where to even start with subjects like this. But so that's just a couple kind of tips that I would give you to start kind of getting your foot in the door with relationship. Obviously, we don't need to go far. Like I said, we have a UN meeting happening every day right here in downtown Matthews. If you go back in the Habitat community, they're all right here. So I want to hand it to Bernie. And we have just touched this. I wish I had 20 more minutes. But
a couple more minutes. I'm going to make a couple more sign-up sheets.
Okay. Let me I guess answer some questions. Are there any questions right now about the video or about refugees or about any of the seven topics? I mean, obviously, since my team and I filmed all of these, I can answer any question about any of the topics at this point as we kind of start to really ask ourselves as a church, how are we going to engage? What, are there questions out there, just general or specific?
David.
Yes.
What kind of federal or state support do the refugees get, and for how long?
Great question. So when they first come here, often it's the Catholic Social Services that is their first kind of entry. The government and Catholic Social Services work pretty closely together. That kind of initial aid or housing allowance or whatever usually lasts, I believe, 6 months to maybe a year, but not much after that, if that. You can imagine that is just enough to get you. I mean, imagine you know, you're landing here, you don't know the language, you don't even know how to use the currency, you don't even know how to open your mail and read what the heck people are sending to you. I've heard of people, that is how they minister to some of the refugees, literally going and sitting with them and helping them open their mail and translate it for them. Hey, this is what this means. This is what the government is asking of you. Hey, if you want to get that next, you know, check, if you know, oh, here's a church that's trying to help, they need to be able to, you know, translate everything that's being sent to them. So the government intervenes for a short amount of time, but then they're on their own. And that's where I really feel like the church has to step in. Really, we should be stepping in from day one, but we do have the government who does kind of the heavy lifting of housing, furniture, and kind of getting them at least a place to stay and find refuge. Good question. Other questions? All right, Bernie, I'm going to let you take it from here.
All right. You know, I said up at the beginning, and I'm going to, there's one of these for each row. And hold on to just a second until I can explain what we're up to. Well, I'm one short. You guys will be filters out for us if you're back row. You got an extra?
Yes,
I did make enough. Yep.
So I said up front
in the beginning that Outreach and Missions has asked us to give you an opportunity to declare where you might like to serve if you know. We hope that you've been thinking and praying about this over the weeks. Maybe you haven't given that enough thought, and that's okay. But if you know, if you could give us, I think, your email address and your area of interest. And the areas of interest that we've discussed over the 7 weeks are at the top. And what we'll do with this, I'm going to give these sheets to Mike Miller, and he, working with his team, will get back to you around the specific opportunities in the area that you've expressed interest in. It's that simple. Do you have any questions? I want to give you a couple of minutes. Gary?
So if you're still thinking, still deciding, you're praying, can we get another opportunity?
Yes. Yes. Thank you for that question. So if you're not sure yet, that's really fine, because we're going to have a little redundancy. In the missions conference, you'll have another opportunity to declare your interests. We have no idea where the Lord might be leading you to serve. Our hope, though, of course, is that as a church in this year of loving others, that this might be a demonstrable expression of our interest in serving our city and ministries of mercy and justice. And so we're very excited about this. And we're praying that the Lord would lay it on many of our people's hearts. And I mean, one thing that ought to be said, some of you have no margins, but many of you probably do. And so we'd hate to lose the opportunity given the investment we've made all these weeks. All right? So let me give you a minute to work through that, and then I'll close this in prayer. We've done very well, David. It's just 2 minutes after 10.
Bernie, is Mike taking this information to help with the focus of the missions conference, or?
Well, what Mike is trying to do, he's got a team, and we're interacting with all the agencies that we've been, many of them have been on the screens each week of the particular areas of interest. Some others as well that we already have a relationship with, and that you're interacting with these agencies that are serving people in our city in these ways, and asking the question, where can we be of help and value in helping you fulfill your mission? And what they've discovered is that these agencies really don't think about this very much. That is, how do we bring people in to help us? They've got needs, and they're so busy fulfilling the needs that it's complicated. And so what we didn't want to do was frustrate you, and by sending you directly to these agencies and you being frustrated because you're not being welcomed in or contacted. It's not a good thing. And so what our missions department's trying to do is really serve as a middleman in that way, and bringing the opportunities as we learn of them together with the folks that have expressed interest.
And one other purpose of this also is to connect you to each other. And so one of the things I know Mike wants to do is to find out from all the different Sunday school classes who else is interested in refugees or prisoner reentry, and start to let you have conversation with each other and kind of say, okay, how are we going to engage this as a church? Not just the Lone Rangers going out, but really putting you into groups where you're going to start saying, okay, I'm now part of a team. Because as Bernie said, you know, the ministries are doing it, but they sadly don't often think of the church being a great resource. And we know the greatest change agent in the world is the church. And so we want to make sure the church is really a part in engaging with these ministries. So does that help clarify as to why we're looking for? So you're not signing up, it's not, you can change your mind, but really we're trying to figure out, are we having a huge group, a huge interest in this area, and really starting to figure out how we can connect you to each other in the coming weeks so you know how to engage as a group. So.
Susan, you had a question or a comment. Did you raise your hand? No? I made it up.
Back here, Bernie.
Yes, Beth.
Can somebody explain what these different refugee support services project, 658, etc., what they do?
Yeah, so on your sheet, and each one of the weeks you had ministries on the bottom. So Catholic Charities, which is formerly Catholic Social Services, they just changed their name. That's kind of the initial greeting team. Where are they going to house them, furniture. Urban Eagles is soccer. So they do soccer mostly on in East Side, like where the old Charlotte Coliseum, current Bojangles Arena is. That's where they mostly work. Refugee Support Services works in the same area, more tangible ways, food, medicine, tangible things they provide. But they also set up a lot of mentoring relationships, ESL. Project 658, they do a little bit of everything. They're also very much sports centric. They're right here in Matthews. 1-7 does a little bit of everything also. They have practical needs, but a lot of mentoring and discipleship opportunities, especially for the youth. So, yes?
Is that 1-7 in Matthews? Or?
They are in Charlotte. So your Matthews ministries would be Project 658 and Urban Eagles. Both those are headquartered right here in Matthews.
You can see now why we asked you to hold on to your handouts each week. Because this day was coming. Yes, Carol?
Bernie, it sounds like to me that part of the issue here is that we need to be able to have enough people to coordinate with all of these different agencies, with Mike and the missions group. So I think my question is to you, so over the next 2 weeks, are we going to be able to also coordinate, or is Mike going to be able to coordinate with the different church or the Sunday school groups to interact with these different agencies? Because it just sounds like it's overwhelming with what the agencies are trying to do, and to be able to coordinate with everyone as to what we're wanting to volunteer for to serve.
I think I've got your question, Carol. And David, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe a number of these agencies will be actually at the missions conference. Is that correct?
Yeah, they will. But there again, I think that's where when you get into your group, you'll create a kind of a task mission as the refugee group of Christ Covenant. And then you'll start to decide which organization we want to connect with. But Bernie's right, a lot of them will be at this missions conference where you could go connect with them. But I think you want to think collectively as a group, where are the areas that we want? What roles do we want to play within the group, whether it's tangible, material, financial, or prayer engaging? So don't miss the prayer.
Yeah.
Don't miss that, because that's what we want to see out of these teams too. Some of you who are maxed out, you can say, you know what? I know I can be a prayer warrior, and maybe by name for some of these refugees. Because that is so important.
And so it seems to me that this won't be all wrapped up by the end of the missions conference. This will take a little time even beyond that for these teams of folks who've expressed interest in different areas to come together and to pray and think about with whom and how to be involved. So remember now, this is the year of loving others. It's not the month. And so we've got plenty of time to do this well. And we're kind of, I'm not sure that there are many other examples in our city, churches that we can model ourselves after. We're kind of inventing a wheel of sorts, I think. Carol?
Also, just say the MICA mandate thing that we had for the women. Mike Miller was asking for specific prayer for the coordination of all this because it is massive.
It is a big deal.
He also was asking for mercy from us.
Yeah.
And I just say, I signed up. Why don't I get a response?
Yeah. Mike Miller, I've known him for 20 years, and I can tell when Mike's appropriately concerned about a matter. And this is one where he is very concerned that we do this well. And so I want to make sure that we need to pray for Mike. It's a big thing he's taking on as the pastor of Outreach and Missions.
Brian, can I say one thing too around that? Because Mike and I have walked from day one, and Chris Decker, the three of us kind of walked the beginning from this. We knew this day would come, and we knew the questions would be, this is massive and it's messy. And it makes us all feel really uncomfortable, and welcome to mission work. And I mean that because often we want the church from top down to create a program. Let me sign up. Let me go to this classroom. Let me go. And you create the program for me. But that's not often how the Holy Spirit works. That's not often how mission field works. For those of you who serve on the mission field, it is complicated. Every one of these videos show you that we're dealing with lives. And so that's complicated. And so when Mike's asking for mercy, he's saying, hey, yes, this is going to be, we're going to fumble through this a little bit. But the beautiful thing is Tim Keller says at Redeemer up in New York, he says, you know, when things, if you want to have lasting change within the church, it doesn't have to, you don't want it to come from top, bottom. You want it to come from really the Holy Spirit working within your congregation, and then there will be lasting change. And that's what we're seeing. And so we want to receive that. And I want to encourage you not to necessarily just look for us up front to create a program for you to just go, but for us to put you into these groups and you start saying, okay, God, how are you going to use us as a church? How are you going to use us as a body? Not necessarily just those up front, but how is the church going to be mobilized to go out and serve? So yes, mercy and grace for your leaders as they work through this. And I applaud them because they are on the cutting edge of doing something that there's not a great model for. But we do have great models for doing ministry, relational ministry from Scripture, and so that's what they're going to go by. So.
And I'm reminded that Seek the City, our significant ministry to our city each summer through our youth, are orienting around these same themes. And so Chris Decker and his team are, so this, we're marshaling our congregation handsomely, I believe, towards something that will please the Lord for sure and have great prospects for changing our city. It's very exciting. So I want to pray, and then if the sheets have kind of found their way to the end of the road, you can just leave them there and I'll pick them up after class. All right? Let me pray. Our Father, we thank you so much. We know that you're a God who is most concerned for the poor and that justice be carried out in your name in the city. We don't have to wonder about that. And so we want to bring you pleasure and our city good as we marshal ourselves to this cause, this great cause. Now, Father, we enter into worship. We pray that we enter in with joy and thanksgiving, and that as a people, Father, we would worship the living and true God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. For Christ's sake, amen. All right, everyone, have a great week.